Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. The Reverend Dr. James Buescher is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark chapter 10. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And they were on the road ascending into Jerusalem. In our text, Jesus begins a new path. He is pursuing a way, at least in Mark's gospel, that he has never walked before. In Mark's gospel, Jesus spends the first 9 chapters journeying around the Sea of Galilee. He sows the seed of the gospel in the synagogues of Capernaum. He confronts demons in the wilderness. He catechizes the 12 in the private homes of his disciples. And now in Mark chapter 10, Jesus sets out in a new direction. He turns toward a new destiny, and they were on the road ascending into Jerusalem. This is a critical moment in Mark's gospel. Jesus now sets out for Jerusalem and calls us all to follow. "If any man would come after me," Jesus cries with some urgency, "let him now deny himself, take up his cross, and follow." The patience of the sowing of the seed must now surrender to the urgency of the harvest. Now is the time for him who would save his life to lose it, the time for the rich man to sell everything and give to the poor, the time for the camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle, the time for impossible things to now be made possible. And so they were on the road ascending into Jerusalem, and Jesus processed before them, and they were amazed. For Jesus, this path is not merely one among many possible avenues. This path is not subject to his arbitrary choice, as if Jesus now stands at a crossroads deciding to take the quickest way or the most scenic route or the path of least resistance. No, this path is essential to Jesus' own identity. This road is a divine necessity for our Lord if he is indeed to be the Christ, if he is to be the Holy One of God. For the path, yes, is defined by the one who walks it. But in turn, it is also true that the identity of the one who walks is now shaped and defined by the path. Isaac will not be the seed of promise if he does not ascend the mountain or is spared by his father. David will not be the king after God's own heart if he refuses to protect the sheep or cowers at the sight of Goliath. Jonah will never be the prophetic sign of the Son of Man unless he willingly descends into the depths of the sea and faces the great fish. In the same way, if Jesus is now to be the Christ, if his true identity is now to be made manifest and fulfilled, then he must make his way to Jerusalem. And so it is for this reason that Jesus leads the way. Our text says that Jesus processed before them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Jesus knows the way before him. He sends out no reconnaissance mission to scout the road ahead. He sends no disciples to prepare the way. No, this road belongs to him. It is his to pave. Just as David had to be the first to enter into the battle of the Philistines, the first to confront the strong man while the hosts of Israel cowered behind the walls of their fortress, so Jesus is first into the battle. And he is well aware that the road before him is the road to war. However, at first glance, the road to Jerusalem, the road that Jesus now describes for his disciples in our text, looks less like the soldier's road to battle, more like the sheep's path to slaughter. For as Jesus now describes the road before him, he uses seven verbs, all of which emphasize his passive posture, his submission, his willing weakness. The path begins with the Son of Man being handed over to the chief priests and scribes. With this verb, Jesus declares that his surrender to the enemy is now voluntary. It is indeed the Father who refuses to spare his own Son that now delivers Jesus over to this path. And Jesus willingly suffers it. He denies himself. He embraces this way of weakness. He makes this road his own. And yet Jesus' willing weakness only encourages his opponent's active aggression. The following six verbs now reveal his opponent's aggression, their determination to now take control of Jesus. First, the chief priests and scribes will condemn Jesus and actively hand him over to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, for their part, will mock him and spit upon him, scourge him, and finally kill him. Jesus' path is now dominated by the active violence of his opponents. With assertive aggression, they will now seek to control Jesus. They will seek to dictate his destiny. They will seek to define his identity. And so with these seven verbs, Jesus describes the way of weakness he is determined to walk. With these seven verbs, he now emphasizes his passive submission not only to the will of his Father, but even to the aggression of sinful men. And yet why? Why must he walk this path? Why endure without resistance? Why allow his destiny to now be controlled by unworthy, envious men? Dear friends, Jesus shows no resistance. He endures it all because his battle is not with flesh and blood. Jesus does not come to overthrow chief priests and scribes. He does not walk this path to conquer Gentiles, to usurp Pilate's authority, or to bring imperial Rome to its knees. No, he willingly submits to death that he might finally face his true opponent. Jesus does not merely seek to enter Jerusalem. He seeks to enter the strong man's house. He is determined to battle the strong man himself face to face. And like David, Jesus will face him without armor, clothed in mortal weakness, worthy of the strong man's disdain. And yet by his voluntary death, Jesus will now descend into the very heart of Satan's power. He will now face the devil as a free man, even as Adam did in the beginning. However, the conflict that was begun in Adam will now be finished by Jesus. Many have indeed walked this path, but only Jesus can bring it to its completion. Enoch, it is said, walked with God, but he was translated to heaven before his death because it was not given to him to face the strong man. Isaac could begin the path up the mountain, but his journey was interrupted because it was not possible for him to finish the path. Job fought bravely with Satan's cruel attacks, but God limited the scope of Satan's power and spared Job's life because he was not the Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptist walked the path of martyrdom. But his martyrdom could only prepare for the true martyr now to come. No, what the saints of old could only begin, Jesus alone will now end. And so to the seven verbs describing his road, Jesus adds one more verb, an eighth verb. And after 3 days, he will rise. With this verb, the passive now becomes active. The suffering servant now becomes the conquering warrior. And the docile lamb led to slaughter becomes the lion who freely walks wherever he wishes. With this eighth verb, every attempt to control Jesus, to dictate his destiny, to define his identity is utterly destroyed. With this verb, the way of weakness now becomes the way of power. And so, dear friends, if this is indeed the path before our Lord, if this is the road that now defines Jesus' true identity, is this not also the path that defines you, who are now called to follow him as the Lenten season approaches? And so shall we, in our fear of death, flee from the path of condemnation and mockery and suffering that now unfolds before us in an ever-darkening world. Shall we remain frozen behind the walls of our fortress even after our David has slain the strong man? No, dear friends, let us put away fear and timidity. Clothe ourselves with boldness and courage. Now is not the time for procrastination, for the day is almost over. The urgency of the harvest is now upon us. And so let us run with haste to enter into the battle. Let us compete with one another to be worthy of his right and his left and his kingdom. Let us gladly drink the cup that he drinks and be baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized. Indeed, let us sell everything in this world, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. For Jesus' road is no longer the way of weakness. It is the way of power made perfect in weakness. To Christ our Lord be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Jeffrey Grunwald, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.